armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to
idea?
Save the pump
bump.
Really, this
do
is
you
what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. I am so sick and tired of this Aaron Rodgers talk. Pooper, get off the pot. We don't care anymore.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American Man.
Yeah, the armchair. Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am doing outstanding. Ready for game number 3 of Braves versus Reds tonight. We will bring it to you live here on Braves Country HD, and Tones Ariola is going to join us tonight. So we look forward to that as welcome him into Braves country and get some perspective from a guy who watches a lot of NL Central ball. As y'all all know, Tones is a big Cubs fan, so he watches the Reds pretty regularly. Going to get you caught up real quick on the scoreboard, and then we're going to hit the ground running on everything else. All right, so Yankees and Cleveland Guardians, they are now tied up. Cleveland have been leading the game all day long. They are now tied up at 3 apiece. That game is in the 7th. Other games going on right now in the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Houston's pounding Pittsburgh 7-0. The Padres are spitting the bit. They were up in this game 2-1. They now trail 4-2. They've given up a couple of dingers, and now they've got Honeywell in. So we'll see if they can come back. Right now it is a split series, 1-1, as the Padres beat them last night. So Atlanta's come into this up 2 games on the Mets, and we're hoping for a little help from the Padres, because if we could sweep the Reds tonight, talking about a 3-game lead going into the weekend would be pretty nice. Philadelphia, they play their game against Miami later on this afternoon. That is 4:05 first pitch. And the Phillies lost their game as well last night. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but the not only did the Miami Marlins win, they got their first ever cycle from Luis Arias, who came over in the trade from the Minnesota Twins, if you remember that. So he had a cycle last night, and that's the last team in Major League Baseball not to have a cycle. What I found very interesting this morning, a couple of places were talking about this, and it kept coming up, and this to me was one of the more remarkable statistics. They were talking about how there's a little over 300 cycles total. And so you're talking about a sport that's been around a little over 150 years. And so over 300 cycles total, that's really not that big of a number. But here's the number that really got me. I think it would shock most people. Not that he holds a record, but that he holds a record for cycles because you got to get triples, which means you have to have speed. And I've said all along that in the prime of his career, Babe Ruth was not as slow as everyone makes him out to be. We saw Babe Ruth in most of the stuff that we see him in is towards the end of the career, because that's when video became less grainy and became more regular. And that's when everyone was taking video of Babe Ruth, and he was heavy set. He was older. But Babe Ruth has 29 cycles in his career. That's absurd. 29. So he's got a tenth of the cycles, essentially, that have ever been completed in Major League Baseball. And the most remarkable feat of it is not only having to get all those in one game, it's just statistically very difficult. Because, strangely enough, no one celebrates a guy who hits two home runs and two doubles, which is obviously greater than a cycle, but we don't keep up with that statistic. It's because the statistic is so odd that everyone keeps up with it. But 29, that is unbelievable. The other big thing that happened last night, Atlanta Hawks march on. How about that? How about the Atlanta Hawks going out and moving on from the play-in game to now they are awaiting the series between the Celtics and them to begin on Monday. On Saturday. And so that game is going to start at 3:30 Eastern. Now all the early games on Saturday are going to be on ESPN. The late night game, the 8:30 game on Saturday night, that's on ABC. So that's what you have going on there in the NBA. The Lakers, they won their play-in game, and I watched quite a bit of that. I got to watch actually more of that than I could the Hawks game, because the Hawks game was going on during the broadcast last night. So I got done with the Braves-Reds. Great game there. We'll get into that here in 1 second. But I flip over to kind of wind down and started watching the Lakers-Timberwolves game. I assumed it was going to be a blowout. Instead, the Timberwolves hung in there and probably should have won the game. There was a statistic at some point, the last 4.5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, somewhere in that area of regulation, they didn't score a basket. In fact, they had to hit a three-pointer, get fouled on a three-pointer for a boneheaded play by Anthony Davis that set up a three free throws at the end. There was 1.4 seconds left. Lakers had just drained a three-pointer. 1.4 seconds. This is one of the rules that I hate about the NBA. And I know they do it for drama, but I still think it's a crappy rule. If there's 1.4 seconds on the clock and you call a timeout, you should not be able to move that ball to half court. It's an absurd rule. But that's the rule, and they move it to half court. They get a wide open shot in the corner. It wasn't a great shot because, first of all, Conley's not a great three-point shooter, and he is in the very corner, almost behind the backboard. But knucklehead Davis goes over there and fouls him. Then he tries to complain, like, man, you definitely banged into him. For what reason, I don't know, but you banged into him. He goes up, drains three free throws, and then the Lakers have to take it to overtime to win the game. They end up going away. I think it was 2.5 minutes into overtime before they scored another offensive bucket, not free throw. So essentially Minnesota choked it away. And I'll say something else for this. Before I watched last night, I was thinking to myself that the West is wide open, the Lakers would have a chance, et cetera, et cetera. Last night was the first time I've watched the Lakers as much as I did last night. I have not watched the Lakers much this year, top to bottom. I'll watch some highlights, et cetera, but I watched them top to bottom. LeBron James looks old. He looks old. He looks slow. He looks unathletic compared to what he used to be. Now, maybe I'm just holding him to a high bar, This Lakers team isn't going anywhere. I'd be shocked if they beat Memphis. I would be very surprised if they could push it to six games. I think Memphis is going to have their way with the Lakers. The Lakers just, they don't look like a very good team. And I was under the impression that LeBron still had some juice in the tank. And watching him last night, he was sucking BBs. He looked slow on rotation. There were times at the end of the game where he was just chucking the ball, and you could tell it was because he had no gas left. And he didn't play that much of the fourth quarter. That's the thing. He didn't play much. They kept waiting to put him in. And I don't think Anthony Davis can carry them. Anthony Davis is not that guy that can carry them by himself. They need a lot more help. And they don't have the offensive firepower to make it very deep. You could convince me that Memphis is a paper tiger and they'll fold under the pressure. Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. But after that, the Lakers are done. I'm looking at the West Coast, and I'm looking at basically two, maybe three teams that are serious contenders out there. And it's obviously the Golden State Warriors. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I'm going to give a slight nod to, I'm almost hesitant to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to give a slight nod to the Sacramento Kings because they are a gritty bunch, and I do like the direction they're going in. I just don't know if they're there yet. But the Suns seem like the odds-on favorites. But you got the Suns. If I was handicapping this, let's say 1 through 4, I would go Warriors. I would go Suns. Then I would probably go Kings. And that fourth team, I'm really having... Thing about the Clippers is Clippers match up well with the Suns. I could see them upsetting the Suns, but I don't see them going very far. I have no faith in the Denver Nuggets. I just don't think they're battle-tested. I think they'll get in the playoffs. They might win the first series, but I think after that, they're going to be a fraud, and they're going to get smoked by the Clippers or the Suns. So if I was going to give you a fourth team, it would probably be the LA Clippers. But the three that I feel the strongest about would be Golden State 1, Phoenix Suns 2, and number 3, I'm starting to get on the Sacramento Kings train. I just haven't quite gotten there yet. And over in the East, I think it's a two-dog race. I think it's the Bucks and the Celtics. And you've got some pretty good teams in the East, but I just think the Celtics and Bucks are that much better. If there's a one dark horse that I would say look out, it would be the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think the 76ers are going to go very far. But I was very impressed by what the Hawks did last night. They went on the road, a hostile environment, beat the Heat, beat them going away. They were by 15 at the half. The game got close for a very short period of time in the third. But all in all, a great game. Wait for Trae Young to step up. He scored 25. Murray got 18. And the biggest thing that the Hawks showed over the Heat, and I know this is a lame cliche, but it felt like they wanted it more. They absolutely crushed them on the boards. What was it, 22-6 offensive boards? When you get beat by the offensive glass by 22, or I'm sorry, 18 on the offensive glass, that's a problem. That's a big time problem. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get you set for Braves versus Reds tonight, Game 3. Keep it locked in here on The Key and Braves Country HD wherever you stream. You're listening to Braves Country Today.
What about Kelso? I mean, Jackie has him totally whipped.
Whipped like the family pig.
I am not pig whipped.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Like, I don't like winter. Like, I don't like winter. Like, I hate winter. Like, I'm originally from North Carolina, and like, look, I hate winter so much, I'm for global warming. I am voting for it, marching for it. I might start buying people SUVs. I don't care. Ladies, start using hairspray again. No ozone. That's our goal. And see, there's people with me, but there's always a couple of crunchy granolas sitting around. Crunchy granolas sitting there thinking, but the polar ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to flood. No, we're not. We're not all going to flood. We're only losing Rhode Island, Long Island, and Jersey. Bye-bye.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
"15 minutes could save you 15% or more."
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope. It's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
No, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Something on your mind?
Just want to let you know you're sitting in my chair.
Is that a fact?
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Well, for a man that don't go healed, you run your mouth kind of reckless, don't you?
No need to go healed to get the bulge on a tub like you.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
I'm real scared.
I can see that in your eyes.
Welcome back. Give you a real quick scoreboard update. The Padres still trail 4-2. That game is heading to the bottom of the seventh at Citi Field in New York. And the Astros all over the Pirates 7-0. Twins up on the White Sox 1-0. Indians and Guardians are tied at the eighth, heading to the bottom of the eighth. And Mariners over the Cubs 2-1. That game is heading to the fifth. And you got a bunch of other games about to start. The Rockies have taken a 1-0 lead really early in that one in Coors Field. Okay. Time to get you set for game number three of Reds versus Padres. Really looking forward to tonight's game because you got two really good young arms. You've got Spencer Strider. We're all familiar with him. Flamethrower, throws the strikes, stays around the plate. Yeah, he'll walk a guy here and there, but all in all, you're looking at the strikeouts, you're looking at the velocity. I know they always say chicks dig the long ball, but I think they're also into that strikeout too. Any guy that can throw that flamethrower like that, I think grabs people's attention. And Hunter Green, born the same ilk. Now, I don't know if he'll ever have the same kind of stuff that Strider has, but remember when Hunter Green first came up, he was a top prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And he hasn't matured as quickly as they would like him to, right now sitting with a 5.63 ERA. But all in all, Hunter Green has been a solid young pitcher. And remember something, too. He pitches in probably the most difficult ballpark in all of Major League Baseball. That is nothing but a bandbox. There is nothing about that Great American Small Park, as we like to call it, that is conducive to great pitching. And the numbers show on the road, his splits are much better. So I think he's going to do his time there in Cincinnati. And when he becomes a free agent, he's going to book on somewhere else. But that's your big matchup tonight, obviously. You've got Green versus Strider. I do want to touch on last night's game for a second. Great, great win for the Braves. We know that they gave up the lead late and had to hold on. But I love the fact that, okay, first of all, that home run by Matt Olson was just unbelievable, an absolute bomb. I want to say they said that thing went 448 feet. 448 feet. That is absolutely absurd. And Kyle Wright just didn't have it last night. He's working his way back. We get that, or at least we should get that. We should understand that it's going to be a work in progress. Anytime that you have a guy coming back from the IL and he had an interrupted spring, et cetera, you're just not going to have a smooth transition. And you can't expect him to go out there and throw 7-8, scoreless innings. And I thought he battled through it. I will say something else too. And this isn't an excuse, but this goes for both pitchers. The home plate umpire last night, Ryan Blackney, I've seen some bad ones, and I'll tend to complain about him during the broadcast, and I kind of let it go. His strike zone was so poor last night, you just can't let it go. You absolutely cannot let that go. he was extremely inconsistent. There were times where you felt like he was calling low strikes and not high ones, and then he would flip-flop. And all in all, it's one of the more memorable poor performances behind the... And look, he is the reason. Performances like that. And I'm not slamming him as an umpire in general, but behind the plate, that is the reason why people are in favor of robo-umps. That is the number one reason. And anytime you bring it up, run an umpire, they get defensive. And I know where they're coming from, because what they're looking at, and obviously what they would be looking for more than anything else, is worrying about their livelihood. And I understand that. But I'm looking at the scorecard from last night, and it's showing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pitches. 6 pitches that were definitely in the zone that he called balls. And another 5 pitches that were absolutely off the plate that were called strikes. And what they'll do is they will sit up there and they will tell you, well, which ones were impactful and which ones weren't. I'm sorry, but they're all impactful. And it really felt like that it was more than that. And I do know from time to time these scorecards are not 100%. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he blew a dozen behind the plate. The ones that they have underlined and circled, 2 of them were against Wright. And I mean, 3 of them were so far inside the zone, they're not even touching the outer edge. There's no part of the dot that goes inside the strike zone. No part of it is even touching the outer edge. They were called balls, and they were inside the strike zone. Not on the fringe, they were dead inside. 5 of those pitches that were called strikes were not in the strike zone, period, and they were missing, for the ones that I'm showing right here, by at least 2 inches off the plate. And what's most dumbfounding about the entire thing is, and I know for a fact that this scorecard is missing a couple, because there were several strikes that were called at the bottom of the zone, and this isn't showing any of them. They were being called at the very bottom of the zone that were below the knees and being called strikes. And look, it was for both pitchers. But when you get that, it's going to lead to high scoring game, wearing out the bullpen for both teams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll move on from that, but I'm telling you right now, Ryan Blackman, that is one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. And I do these games very regularly. And when I saw his name come up last night, I kind of cringed, because all I could think of was there was a couple that he did in postseason over the last couple of years that were just devastatingly terrible. And everyone always wants to point to Angel Hernandez, but they don't keep the Ryan Blackney's in their mind, because Hernandez has always been the one that gets in there and argues with people. So he gets on the camera, and that's why people focus on him. But Blackney, I'm telling you right now, he is down there near the bottom. As far as, it's one thing to be inconsistent, it's another thing to be so inconsistent that the ball is either nowhere near the zone and being called a strike, or down the heart of the plate being called a ball. And those, a pitcher's like, well, what in the hell can I do? What are you doing to me? So anyways, we'll move on from that and get into tonight's game. Just wanted to address that, because it really bothered me last night. Even though we got the W, really bothered me. looking at the lineups for tonight, Reds pretty similar lineup with the India, Friedel, and Fraley, and Stevenson at the top, Myers sitting there at the number five spot. We'll go through the entire lineup right before first pitch, but I found it interesting that Vossler got moved off of first base, is going over to third. They're benching Steer. Steer had a double last night, so that to me is a little interesting. Now, look, I don't follow the Reds, so it could be something as simple as they just want him to get a day off. You got a new man behind the plate in Mail, and then Benson's going to be out and left because Myers is moving from the outfield to the infield to play first because of Vossler going to third base. So pretty much the same at the top of the order. There's a couple of basically it's the seven of the nine guys are back in the lineup again, and they're swinging good bats. You look at India, Friedel, Fraley, all of them hitting over 300. I mean, Fraley's hitting 370. And then Stevenson batting 289. He was getting a little perturbed last night, wasn't he? He got hit twice, and neither one of them were intentional, but it's human nature to get tired of getting hit. Now, the second one, I thought he was very fortunate. The ball hit him on the belt buckle, so I seriously doubt that left a mark. But you can understand why someone gets fired up like that, takes it personal. The Braves tonight, looking very similar, and I've just got one question for the Atlanta Braves, because they change their lineup all the time. So it's not like this is an organization that keeps the same lineup day in and day out, no matter what. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stick with it. You see the Braves move their lineup around a lot. What is it going to take Marcell Ozuna out of the starting lineup on the regular? He's 3-for-32. And I do not care what any of their analytics say about his exit velo and all that kind of stuff. Simple fact of the matter is he's 3-for-32. And you don't have him in there for defense. He's your designated hitter. And the way he plays, he's a designated out. And sometimes a guy like Ozuna may just need to sit. But I'm hoping this has the same effect of when I complained about Murphy the other night and he got three hits and away we go. But he's a designated hitter. I thought to myself, well, maybe he's really successful against Hunter Green. No, he's 0-for-1. On that note, by the way, not a whole lot of experience against Hunter Green in this Braves lineup. Matt Olson is 2-for-3 for a home run. So that's going to be my pick to click. I think Matt Olson goes deep again. Riley's 1-for-3. Other than that, Rosario is 0-for-3 with a strikeout. Ozuna's 0-for-1 with a sac fly RBI. And Ozzie Albies has a logged plate appearance, but he doesn't have an at bat, so I don't know what happened. I don't see it in front of me. He either walked or it was some version of sacrifice that did not end up in an RBI. But that's it as far as career versus Hunter Green. Once again, young kid. Other side, if you're looking at it, well, what about the Reds? How many of these guys have faced him? Total of 4 at bats. Jonathan India is 0-for-3 with a strikeout. Tyler Stevenson is 0-for-1 with a strikeout. That's it. No one else has faced him. So I think you're going to get a pretty fairly low-scoring game in the first five. If you're looking for something to hit there, you got to figure it's going to take at least one time through the order for these two teams to get used to. I mean, some couple of really powerful arms on the hill today. And if the Braves can get a sweep, obviously it's always big, but it's really big right before you leave to go on a road trip. After this, we've got the immediate future. We're at Kansas City and we're at San Diego. We're going to bring you tonight's game at 7:20 on Braves Country HD. And then Friday night, that's an 8:10 start because it's in Kansas City, a little different start. 4:10 Saturday, right here on WQEE, first pitch. Hopefully it works out like it did last time we did a Saturday afternoon tilt. The game ended just in time for us to get out of the way and give you the River Dragons hockey. But nonetheless, if the game ends up going long and you want to continue to listen to the baseball game, just flip over to Braves Country HD on YouTube. So in a perfect world, we'll get another quick game. I think that was the first Saturday of the season against Washington, and it was just bang, 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 bang. On that note, there has been some news about the Braves rotation, and I mentioned it last night on the broadcast, and I didn't realize that it was already unfolding. The Braves have optioned Dylan Dodd down, so he's not going to start on Friday as he would be in line next. Instead, they have announced that it will be, in all likelihood, Charlie Morton. So Charlie Morton is going to get the ball Friday against Brady Singer. If you haven't seen Brady Singer pitch, really good starting pitcher. That should be a very good matchup, a tough matchup, and the game that I'm most concerned about going into the series. The 4:10 game on Saturday, they haven't announced it yet. The Royals are going with Chris Bubik. There is an opportunity, a chance, because he's eligible to come off the IL that day. Max Fried could be taking the hill, but we don't know what the game plan is as far as making sure that he's ready to roll. But I would tend to think, because they optioned Dodd down, unless they're planning on just skipping and going straight back to Elder on Saturday, which was an option as well, because he would be on normal rest. You could go Elder on Saturday, right on Sunday. But if not, Max Fried could step in either Saturday or Sunday. So we're going to bring the first two games of that series to you. The Sunday afternoon game, that's at 2:10. And right now it's being projected as Bryce Elder versus Greinke. If that is actually the case, then Max Fried would be your starter on Saturday. But Elder could be asked to go to the hill on Saturday, and they could wait until the middle of next week. But if you do get Fried in on Saturday's game, first of all, you give everybody else an extra day of rest. That's a huge plus. But then the other thing would be, he would be in line, if you do the math there, if he pitches Saturday and he's off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he would be in line then to pitch possibly Thursday, I think. They're off Thursday. So he could pitch Saturday and then turn around the next time he would be asked to come out. It would be Friday night against the Astros in Atlanta. And I think if you want him to come out off the IL the first time, kind of get the rust off, it's much better to start off with the Kansas City Royals offense than the Houston Astros offense. So there you have that. A quick road trip for the Braves after tonight's game, going to Kansas City, going to Houston. The Phillies are in Cincinnati all weekend at the Reds, a four-game series. That begins tomorrow night. The Mets, the bad news is they're going to go play three games in Oakland. We know how bad Oakland is and has been. The good news is it's the beginning of a, is it 10? Yeah, 10-game road trip out west, which are always difficult, time zone, you name it. They're going to Oakland, then they go to L.A. and San Francisco for 7. 3 in Los Angeles, 4 in San Fran. That's a tough road. So if they don't go out and sweep the A's, there's a very good chance that that's going to be a losing record on that 10-game road trip. So hopefully that comes to fruition. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get you caught up on what's going on. There's a lot of games rocking and rolling here on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Justin Waller's on the way.
Hey, check it out. A snow cone machine.
A snow cone machine?
You're saying it wrong. It's a snow cone machine.
Wendy's only makes one kind of breakfast, your new favorite one. How do we do it? With fresh cracked eggs, oven-baked bacon, and flaky croissants. You know, the things your old breakfast wasn't doing. So toss that old news and its soggy eggs somewhere useful. And get to Wendy's. A sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant, and honey butter chicken biscuit. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only. Single item at regular price. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE, The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Choose a yogurt that's right for you. With 2 grams of sugar per 5.3-ounce serving, Too Good Greek yogurt is too good to be true. So Delicious Dairy-Free Yogurt and Silk Yogurt Alternatives are delicious plant-based swaps you can enjoy by the spoon or add to recipes. Oikos Triple Zero Yogurt and Light and Fit Yogurt are tasty, non-fat yogurt options. So many flavors, varieties, and possibilities. Elevate any recipe and your everyday with yogurt.
You're listening to WQEE in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m.
You mean to tell me we're going to drive from here to Texarkana, Texas, and back to here in 28 hours?
It's only 900 miles there, 900 miles back.
Well, for your information, that ain't never been done, not no rig.
That's because you and I ain't never done it in no rig. You got to stop thinking so negative, son.
Welcome back. Yankees lead the Guardians. Teams in the bottom of the ninth. The Guardians have a runner on first, but there is two away. And the Padres are falling apart. They're down 5-2. That game is at the top of the eighth. And Padres do have a couple of guys on. We'll keep you updated on what's going on there. The rest of Major League Baseball. We're really getting into the heart of the season now. Once you get past the Masters, I feel like you can pretty much focus on Major League Baseball day in and day out. You don't have any real interruptions. You do have the NBA playoffs coming right around the corner. But let's be honest, that most of those series don't really grab our attention until, what would you say, Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals? They just have such long playoff series, and the fact that there's seven games in the first round, it's a snore fest. It's a little different with hockey, because to me, hockey, it's a more open field, and it's probably more indicative of who the better team is to go ahead and play a seven-game series in each round. But with the NBA, you're trying to tell me it takes you seven games to figure out if the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be better than, we'll just say, for instance, the Miami Heat? I mean, come on. And they've always talked about, well, you know, there's a chance of an upset. Okay, well, then good. Well, then we have a chance for actual good basketball viewing. But in the first round of the NBA playoffs, I'm sorry, until the higher seed loses, it's not a series. And if the higher seed loses late in the series, when it's already like 3-0, it's still not a series. But all that begins this weekend, and I'll tune in. I'll look at it, to a degree from time to time. I grew up a Celtics fan. I hate the fact they're playing the Hawks, because I do kind of pull for the Hawks. But I'll keep an eye on that series. But all in all, I just, who cares? I mean, wake me up come at least the second round, but realistically, the conference finals. There's more drama day to day on what's going to happen in Major League Baseball, and I'll be more focused on watching the NHL playoffs. I think the NHL playoffs are much more fascinating when they start. And typically what I do is that when the playoffs start for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I'll tune in to the best series. I do have a couple of teams that I pull for, but all in all, I'll watch any good playoff hockey. And I'll tune into the best series, the ones that have the most buzz, the ones that are having the best games, and follow those all the way down the line. And then when the NBA playoffs get towards the conference finals, that's when if in the second round you got some deciding games, let's say it's a game six or even a game seven. You'll have my attention, but you're not going to have my attention when the favored team is up 3-1 going into a closeout game. It's like, shouldn't they close it out? NBA playoffs in that manner is very women's college basketball-like in the fact that you don't see a lot of huge upsets. Usually the better team wins. It's for two totally different reasons. But usually the better team wins in the NBA playoffs. It's not like March Madness where there's so much drama because one bad game, one bad half can cost you. There's no way that UConn was the best team in college basketball all year long. They put the best 3 weeks together. That's for sure. Other games going on today is... I think the Padres are probably going to drop this one. They're down 5-2. They had a chance to score there, and they did not come through. So they're in the bottom of the eighth. So you're talking about one more inning, and unless the Mets bullpen absolutely implodes, which there's more hope for that this year than there has been in the past, right? In the past, Diaz gets on the mound, and you're like, it's over. But all in all, they're going to deploy their arms. They're going to make sure that they get this win. They need three outs before they give up three runs. That game's probably a wrap. Mariners are leading the Cubs 2-1. That game's heading to the seventh. Cardinals 3-1 over the Rockies. That game is in the fourth. The Brewers and Diamondbacks just got going. Diamondbacks up 1-0. And games are already in the books. The Astros blanked the Pirates 7-0. You knew that was coming. After losing to the Pirates last night, you knew the Astros were going to come back. Twins once again beat the White Sox 3-1. Sonny Gray was on the mound today. Wonder how he did. And looks like that the Yankees held off the Indians, Guardians, so that they went 4-3. Let's see. Today, Sonny Gray, 5 innings, 5 Ks, 3 hits. Okay. Nothing outstanding, but they shut it down. And one of the reasons why I picked the Twins for the upset in the division, and so far so good, they are absolutely playing really good baseball right now. They're starting pitching solid. Giolito once again gets lost. Now, he pitched much better today, but so the Twins win that series 2-3. This is an interesting series to me coming up. New York Yankees are going back home, and they're going to host a 4-game series against Minnesota. And the most interesting part about that series to me is, and I know, players change every single year. You can't go off of 1 year from the other. But for whatever reason, in Major League Baseball, over the last 3 decades, the New York Yankees have had the Minnesota Twins number. And the Twins, looking at the pitching matchups right now, they've got it set up for themselves. Ryan versus Brito, the first game. Mayo versus Cortez, that's a puncher's chance. Maeda versus Herman, that's probably going to be a high-scoring game on Saturday. And Lopez versus Cole. Lopez has pitched pretty well. Cole pitched really well yesterday. So I think if you're a Twins fan, you're looking at bare minimum, you want to split in that series. You know, you'd love to take 3 or 4. Because they're going to New York for 4, Boston for 3. And then the Twins are going to turn right back around. They're going to get Washington at home for 3. And the tail end of that homestand, they're going to get the Royals. But in between, sandwich in between, they got the Yankees again. So they're going to face the Yankees twice in about 10 days. They're going to face them a total of 7 times in a 13-day period. That's a litmus test right there for the Minnesota Twins, who are right now number one in the AL Central. They're 8-4. And when you look at the standings in Major League Baseball, it's still way too early to overreact. But the Twins have a game and a half up on the Guardians, 3.5 up on the White Sox. The Rangers, that was my surprise team this year. I took them to make the playoffs. I still think the Astros are going to outlast them. But, hey, they're leading the West. How about that? They're leading the Astros by 2 games. I don't count the Angels. The Angels are only a game back. But we all know the Angels are going to fold. They always fold. The Braves, if they can win tonight, they'll stay two up on the Mets, because it looks like the Mets are going to pull off a W. We'll see. They're heading to the top of the ninth. We'll keep you updated on that. Let's take a quick break. We're going to step aside. Justin Waller's on the way. Keep it locked in here on WQEE. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Major League Baseball has a full slate of action on Wednesday, April 12th. Padres and Mets, McGill versus
Blake Snell, 110 Eastern, will keep you updated on all the early action as the show rolls along. Other early pitches, 12:35, Astros at Pirates, your Quitty going to the mound for the Astros. 110 Eastern, it was Giolito versus Gray going head-to-head. Lucas Giolito, the 9 ERA heading into today's action. Yankees at the Guardians, rubber match at 110 Schmidt and Battenfield. 2:20 in Wrigley, Cubs looking for the sweep against Gilbert and the Mariners. 3:10, Cardinals and Rockies, Flaherty versus Urena in his 14.4 ERA. Brewers and Diamondbacks, rubber match, 3:40 first pitch, Junk versus Jameson. The Nats are at the Angels. Mackenzie Gore goes to the mound with his shiny 2-0 record, a 2.38 ERA. Orioles looking to sweep the A's tonight, 6:35 first pitch, Waldichuk versus Kramer. Red Sox and the Rays. Boston trying to give Tampa their first loss of the year. The Rays, 11-0, send Bradley to the mound versus Chris Sale. At 7:07, the Blue Jays host the Tigers. Toronto, Kevin Gausman, the Tigers. Erod, 0-2 with a 6.3 ERA. Royals and Rangers are back at it again. Keller up against Eovaldi. And the late pitch tonight, Clayton Kershaw and the L.A. Dodgers. In the rubber match of the three-game series in San Fran, the Giants will send Cobb to the hill. NBA play-in games continue tonight. At 7 Eastern, you got the Bulls and Raptors in Toronto. Chicago, 5.5-point dog, over-under 212.5. At 9:30, it's the OKC Thunder at the Pelicans. Pelicans giving up 5.5, over-under 226.5. Just a few more days left on the NHL regular season slate. You got a doubleheader on TNT. Stars at the Blues at 7:30. At 10 o'clock, it's the Sharks at the Flames. On the plus at 7, Canadians travel to New York to face the Islanders. And if you missed it late last night, the Los Angeles Lakers came back from a large deficit to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves to grab the number 7 seed in the Western Conference. Game went to overtime. LeBron James, 30 points and 10 rebounds. Dennis Schroeder scoring 21 points, hitting a tie-breaking three-pointer on a pass from James with 1.4 seconds left in regulation. Would have been the game winner, but Anthony Davis committed a boneheaded foul behind the three-point line on Conley. Conley hit all three, and it went to overtime. Lakers outlasted Minnesota 108-102. The Timberwolves missed 11 consecutive shots before Anthony Edwards dunked with 2:36 left in overtime. Edwards scored just 9 points, 15 below his average, and left the court briefly in the second half to get tape on his left shoulder. Timberwolves will wait the winner of tonight's game between the Thunder and Pelicans. They'll host the final play-in game on Friday night. And your hometown Hawks pulled a shocker in Miami, thumping the Miami Heat 116-105. Atlanta out-rebounded Miami 63-39, including 22-6 on the offensive glass. The win for Atlanta will send them to the first round as the number 7 seed. They'll head to Boston Saturday afternoon at 3:30 to face the Celtics. As for the Miami Heat, they await the winner of tonight's game between the Bulls and Raptors. They'll host the matchup Friday night for the right to grab the number 8 seed and face the Milwaukee Bucks. In the win over Miami, Trae Young scored 25 points, just 1 of 8 behind the three-point line. The rest of the NBA slate is set for Saturday as the first round of the playoffs will begin. Nets at 76ers at 1, the aforementioned Hawks at Celtics at 3:30, Knicks and Cavaliers at 6, the Warriors are at the Kings at 8:30. All can be seen on Disney's family of network, ESPN and ABC. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
When you were my age, did you ever have trouble deciding what you wanted to do with your life?
No, I never had that problem, really.
Why? Forget it. I didn't think you'd understand.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know. I don't know.
Welcome back, Braves Country. Joining us today is Mr. Justin Waller. Justin, looking good in the shades, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mac. I don't know much, but I know one thing. These new rules in baseball only took 12 games to make me call it garbage.
Speak up a little bit. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Took 12 games for me to call the new MLB rules garbage. How about you? Any of
Are
them tapping you yet?
Specifically?
I don't like the pitch clock. I don't like the strike on a batter for not being in the box. There's too much debate over it right now.
Yeah, I think with it? Okay, the pitch clock is great. I love it. I didn't never thought I'd say that, but I do love it. It keeps people from disengaging with the game. They're staying locked into the game. You're not playing on your phone as much. I know that much. I know before when I was watching games at home, and I'm not talking about when I do the broadcast, I'm talking about just watching the game. In between pitches, you kind of get lost in your phone on Twitter and stuff. And not that that's the worst thing in the world, but you got to stay on top of it. So I do like that aspect. I'm a little iffy on the fact that they are starting this out so quickly of deciding balls and strikes for not being ready. I think the one that I dislike the most is that you got to be engaged with 8 seconds left. My theory behind that is, who cares if the guy's not ready? Throw the, you know, just throw the damn pitch. The only way I'll say that I can understand why you need to be engaged, but that's a different story, because you could come up with a different rule for that. Is it, you know, the batters that'll sit there and swing their bat through the strike zone, right? If they're doing that to try to slow down the pitcher so they can't get the sign, but nowadays 95% of them are using that little earbud, so I don't know if that's even a thing anymore. But I'm not a big fan of, we saw it in the first spring training game with the Braves and Red Sox. And I was actually doing the game, and I was lost, didn't know what the hell was going on. Had to catch up, trying to read lips, and figured it out that the game ended. Now, it ended in a tie, and it was a spring training game, so nobody really cares. But what if it happens in October where the game ends because they said that the pitcher wasn't ready to roll? That's the only thing that I'm concerned with.
Or you're in the World Series and you're in an 0-1 hole because your batter wasn't in the box. Am I coming in loud for you now, Mac?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand why some folks don't like it. All in all, my biggest complaint about the entire thing during the offseason is that, why did we have to change so many rules in the same year, right? Like why did we have to go get rid of the shift, enlarge the bases, pitch clock?
I know. Throwovers.
What's that?
Throwovers.
I mean, just, they did like, it was like machine gun style.
Here's the thing with challenges. I it's not the first year of the challenge. That's been in, correct?
Correct.
But if you're going to have them and you can challenge the area or the style of judgment plays that you can challenge, why can a manager not waste his on a ball or a strike? It's either all or nothing. You got to fix it, right?
Well, that all goes down to, I'm telling you, it's coming, but that all comes down to not having the robo umps yet.
But I think the Riley call last night on that challenge just set me. I mean, that's a judgment call. Could have went either way. I agree that it was the correct call. For those that didn't see the game, Riley slides in the home. His left hand makes contact with the shoe of the catcher. It was a bad throw to first. It was a bam, bam. First baseman fields the ball, goes, bases are loaded, gets the lead runner out at home. Catcher slings it right back. But it was a rush throw, and he bounced it. Mm-hmm. Skipper challenges. And then I'm sitting there the whole time thinking, what is the difference in this opinionated call, whatever decision comes back, versus a ball or strike? Why don't you just let them challenge those two?
Because that comes down to – I'll put football back at you. Because that's why you can challenge a fumble, but you can't challenge a pass interference. Because they're going to say that it's up to the individual. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but
it took them decades to decide what a catch was in the NFL. That's still silly too.
Yeah, well, the thing about Riley's slide, and I did the whole game last night, right? And I've been paying attention to this whole series. Can I say something about the Reds manager, just in generalization, not just that call? He's a pain in the ass. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
He's very Buck Showalter-like. And that's the first person I thought of. I was like, did he go to the school of Buck Showalter where he's trying to just like nibble at you? You know what I mean? He's like that kid in school that kept pecking at you, and you let it go, and then all of a sudden you roundhouse smoke him into the lockers, and the teachers want to kick you out of school because you hit him. You're like, yeah, but you didn't see the first 372 little nabs that he got me with. Not that I'm condoning violence, but we've all been there. There's always been that one kid in school, and that's what the Reds manager reminds me of. That one kid in school, you're like, you know what? I hate bullies, but I really want to cram you in a locker right now. I just want to take you and just jam you in a locker.
The one time you wanted Amir Garrett on the roster was last night. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. did you know? I don't think you were on the show the other day when we realized this. Did you know him and Aroldis Chapman are teammates now?
Woo!
Woo! You don't want to fight the Royals. That's all I'm saying. We're playing the Royals this weekend. So let's get our animosity out. Later on, we go head on, play the Mets, the Phillies. For sure, we can whip them. Let's not get any tussles with the Kansas City Royals.
Not realize that.
I don't even know who else is in that bullpen, but those two dudes are. I want nothing, no part of it. You're talking about two guys with a left-hand haymaker that can probably hit you from second base if you're standing at home. Like, they probably have that kind of reach.
Well, if not, they still throw hard enough that you got to dodge it first and then dodge the reach.
It reminds me of that
clip. Don't charge a dude that throws that hard.
It reminds me of that clip we play from time to time where Randy Johnson at some point, I'm thinking it's when he was in New York, was being asked about gun control and whether or not, you know, he was a proponent of guns. And he said, you know, I don't have anything against him, but I don't own a gun. I keep a bucket of baseballs by my bed. And if you come in, I'm aiming for your head. And I have more faith in my ability to hit you in the head with a baseball than I do a gun.
I would not want Les Johnson throwing a baseball
at me. I went into his house thinking, you know, ooh, man, I'm going to get me something here. Are you going to get you something? You're going to get concussed over and over and over.
Facial reconstruction is what you
can do. That dude was 6'11"? Oof.
Yes.
No, thank you. VI.
Man, that's downhill motion no matter who he's throwing at.
Exactly. I don't know which, but I know one thing. I would need a running start, and it would be from 20 years ago, that kind of running start, to be able to connect on him. I could leap, bounce off the bed, still swing and miss on that dude. And go, oh, man. This is how it ends.
I tried, though, man. You had heart. That's all that mattered.
Just put it on my tombstone. He dumb, but he brave. He real dumb, but he but he real brave. Mets did hold on and win it 5-2 against the Padres. So I was hoping the Padres would go in there and take 2 of 3 from them, but not the best pitching matchups for the Padres. Blake Snell got pounded today. I'm so torn when Blake Snell pitches against the Mets. I don't know who to pull for because I hate them both. Like, I don't want Blake Snell to be anywhere near good. But you know, what I was hoping for is a high-scoring game that the Padres eventually won. And you got
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but with your Blake Snell reference, reminds me, it's going to bring me to Tampa Bay. And who is it? Does Chris Sale get it today? Do they finally break that? Do the Red Sox get a win? Or are we going to wait till they meet the Astros later on in the month and they're just going to have like a 24-0 run stretch?
Well, I do know this. The Rays are getting cocky, because they're going up against a division rival, and they said, you know what, man? We're going to send a rookie out there to the mound that we don't expect to get through more than about 3 innings, and we're still going to kick your butt. They're 11-0. That is unbelievable.
That is amazing. Yes. I'm curious to see when it ends, and I don't know. That is a very arrogant to send a rookie out against a divisional opponent, especially when they're fielding Sale on the mound. Granted, he might not be Chris Sale of old, but he's still Chris Sale.
Yeah, he's been bad so far, but if you're a Red Sox fan, I would think that your mentality would be, if we don't win this game, when the hell are we going to win? Because I think tomorrow they've got a tough matchup, because it's a 4-game series. Where's that game at? It's a 1 o'clock tomorrow. And the one tomorrow, I think that was the tough matchup. Yes, yeah, Springs versus Kluber. I mean, Kluber's okay. He pitched much better second time out, but Springs has been money. I don't think the Red Sox are going to win tomorrow, so they better win today. If they don't beat the Rays, they will be 5-8, and the Rays will be 13-0. They'll be 8 games out of first place in their own division, just 2 weeks into the season.
And do you have their schedule up? Because it's something like Royals, White Sox, then Astros. I mean, it looks like they've got a
Tampa.
White Sox might throw a little. Yeah, Tampa. They
so they got a tough one next. They go to Toronto.
Okay, it's the Blue Jays that are in there. I forgot.
They go to the Reds. And I do think this Reds seems a little better than years past. I know the Braves have won the last 2 games, but they've been nail biters. I think their offense is solid. Of course, I don't have the pitching matchups in front of me.
Sessa had a heck of a game last night. That lineup stacked top to bottom, and it's built to where a pitcher can't survive through that, especially a young one without multiple developed pitches. And
I'm telling you, I'm ready for the robo ump after watching that jack leg black knee behind the plate. He was awful. They go to Toronto, they go to Cincinnati, and then they come home against the White Sox. And then it's the Astros that you referenced. That's at the end of April. Yeah. I mean, I would think they're going to lose sometime by the end of the weekend. If they don't lose tonight, I mean, 3 in Toronto, you got to figure one of those. Who's pitching in Toronto? They got Manoah on the mound on Sunday in Toronto. Oof. McClanahan versus Manoah. That's a game.
I thought it was the Royals, not Toronto. Toronto changes it a little bit. I was going to step out there and say, hey, they could make it all the way to Houston without enduring an L if the White Sox don't put one on them.
But if they win that game on Sunday, the 2 games before that, Justin, Berrios, who's not who he used to be, in Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two dudes have ERAs north of 5 and 6 apiece. So... And I don't think that the Kluber's going to beat Springs tomorrow. So I mean, tonight's the night. If it's not tonight, my next guest would be. I mean, it is baseball. I know in any given day, any pitcher can beat anybody. But on paper, it looks like that their best chance of a loss is either tonight or Sunday in Toronto. And they do play. We dodge Lodolo. They do have to go up against Lodolo in Cincinnati. Thank God we don't go up against him. Because for Braves fans who have not watched Lodolo pitch, the dude is a strikeout machine, and we know how our lineup like to do with them strikeouts, man.
How about Marcell Ozuna getting a non-home run base hit? Thank you, sir. Finally.
God, three base hits. He's not even batting 100, and they're putting him back out there again tonight? I don't get it. I get it if it was a left-hander. Yeah,
the .06 batting average is pretty rough, man.
Yeah, he's 3-for-32. Like when I first see the batting average at the beginning of the day when they first release it, and I see that I think that base hit skyrocketed his batting average up to like 0.91 today, and that sounds bad. Then when you see it, that it's 3-for-32, I don't know why, but it seems worse. You're like, you've had three base. I think I could get three base hits just swinging wildly, and the ball just going to a broken bat single somewhere. I mean,
I can at least lean into three off-speed pitches.
What's that?
I would just lean into three off-speed pitches and have just as much production.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I was sitting in a major league batter's box, first of all, I'd be like, how did I get here? What bet did I lose? But the other thing is, you think I'm teeing up on fastballs? There's no way. I'm hoping someone throws me an Ephus pitch or something I can just check swing over the first baseman's head. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I'm looking
for a letter hanger.
And then just pray that the right fielder doesn't gun me down at first. That would be my luck. I'd be like celebrating, jumping up and down. I did it. Yeah, out of here, son of a. I pulled an Acuna. All right, let's take a quick break. Smoke them if you got them. It's 4:20. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and 99.1 FM, The Key.
Why do you keep your mouth shut? I'm not taking off my clothes today. I'm styling and profiling. You just be glad I'm here looking the way I look.
Armchair. That? That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
This helpful instructional message from the National Association of People Who Have Trouble Walking and Chewing Gum at the Same Time. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step, chew.
Nobody's got anything bad to say about Dustin Pedroia.
Okay, if he had mentioned Dustin Pedroia, I wouldn't have said a word, but the fact that he mentioned Big Poppy in the steroid era, when you want to bring that clown, that joke of a player up, they broke a great player. Ted Williams was one of the greatest players ever. And the fact that you would bring the fact up that he broke his record after he's pumping steroids in his behind, I don't want to hear about it.
No, it's Wooten to pick a better Red Sox.
You could have picked 10 better Red Sox. than Big Poppy.
I like him. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Of course
fan.
You
I like
him. You like the Gators. You like Aerosmith. There are a lot of things you like that the rest of the world doesn't. I'm just throwing it out there. Dude looks like a lady. I'm just saying.
I don't know much, but I know one thing. Billy Bills gets to show game ball today.
Armchair.
Well, if you stand and block the screen, you may just lose your life. And that goes for all 30 friends and 30 friends' wives. Because he's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks.
Welcome back. Line today on the Braves, by the way, is -275, but -1.5 run line is a -135. So I don't hate that at all. I do think the Braves are going to put some runs up on the board tonight. Hunter Green is on the hill. What's your take on tonight's game, Justin?
I'm hoping that we continue where we took off last night and this offense stays hot and we get some depth out of our starting pitcher because this bullpen is stretched out a little bit. But kudos to Nick Anderson. It was nice to see him come out and close one out. Not a traditional closer, but he got the job done and they fought back. So I'd like to see him gain the lead and hold on to it tonight and never relinquish that and give our starting pitcher a little bit of insurance to get late in this game.
Good to see, you know, having guys on the roster that have that kind of experience. You know, Anderson used to close for the Rays, speaking of the Rays, before his injuries. And then, man, I haven't heard an update on Iglesias in forever. I'm starting to wonder about when he's coming back. But that's a big hole in our bullpen right now, is not having Iglesias. Because if you think about it, if you have Iglesias closing the games, and then you've got Minter – and Anderson as that righty lefty punch in the seventh and eighth inning leading up to the ninth. That's and look, Jesse Chavez has been phenomenal. Joe Jimenez has not been though. Man, that dude's making me nervous every time he comes in.
Was it Tutnik last night that went three strong, looked good, pitched out of some jams?
Tonkin, yeah, yeah.
Tonkin. Sorry.
That's the second time he's done that where he's gone multiple innings and pitched really well. I think they really found something in that kid. And the fact that he can come in and give you two and a half innings, three innings, that kind of thing, is huge. The man Jimenez.
Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, he wasn't even playing in single-A ball. I mean, he was in one of the Northeastern leagues. It wasn't even – to the level of professional minors. So great turnaround for him. Great find.
Yeah, and the Jimenez thing, man, he's just between him and Yates, it is just absolute nerve wracking when they get in the game if the game is still in doubt. Yates is pitching a little better, but his thing of bouncing pitches up at the plate. And here's the other question I got for you, because you've got this man in fantasy baseball. I'm not so much concerned with the offense. I know what we got him out of offense. He's okay. He's not elite, but he's a solid cat. Dude, they are running on him left and right. And I don't understand it, because we were told that he had one of the best pops in all of baseball, meaning from the time the ball pops his glove at home to the time the ball gets down to second. That was the big selling point on him. And they are just absolutely killing him. What is going on?
Well, first off, they're getting hellacious jumps because they know they're not being checked with multiple pitches. So once you've used your two, you know what's happening, and he's rushing his throw. Second, he's throwing at a 4-foot-tall second baseman. I mean, he's got to get used to that and lower his target a little bit. But the man has a cannon, and you will see. He's already rang up a couple this year. You've seen that he can do it. It's just I think it's rushing, and he sees the big jump, and he's just trying to get a little extra on it to beat it. And I think it's more of, hey, be in your comfort zone. You know your skill set, catch it, sling it, and do your thing. And when you overpower it, you're throwing high. And I think he's on target if he can lead them. he's just got to calm down and stay with it. Don't let that peripheral vision just catch the ball and use your technique. You've seen him throw two or three out this season already. I've witnessed two of them. I don't know how many. Yeah.
He's just getting run on a lot more than I thought he would. And I know it's still early, and I get with all the different rules that have changed, he's probably still trying to adjust, but all the catchers are having to adjust to that. And it just seems like whenever he's behind the plate, that's the one thing that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have the dude that you can't run on and will run into one every once in a while, right? Like the walk-off that he had on Monday night. But he's just defensively, he's been below average at this point. I still have faith he's going to turn it around, but that's the one thing you don't expect to slump is the defense, right? Like all those years when you would watch guys, not even baseball, but I think of guys like Jordan on the night that Jordan didn't have his shot, but you knew he could still lock you down defensively. But when you go to baseball, Andrew Jones, that ball out there, that ball is getting caught out there in center field. And now you're going, dude, I hope they don't run on him again. And there they go. It just makes me concerned that this is the guy that we're supposed to be. That was the one trait he was supposed to have that was supposed to separate him above anybody. And I haven't seen it yet.
I think he'll settle into it. It's the bombardment of the rules. I think it's just the newness. I think it will all settle down. He'll come and he'll get into it. And
I know one thing. Nobody's running on Jesse Chavez. See how fast he's delivering that ball, man?
Nobody's running on Ronald, and if they're smart. Don't forget that cannon in right field.
Yeah. Acuna's gunned some folks down already. That's another thing that happened this week that I've been a little surprised on. He got on first base four times this week and did not attempt to steal it second.
I think they shut him down.
He got on base three times, three singles on Monday, did not attempt to steal. And that's unlike him.
I think that's a coaching decision. I honestly do. I mean, you just – depending on where you're at in that game, whether you're sending him or not, and if it's not worth it, I'm not sending him. I don't want that young man running any extra than he has to. I don't want any contact. I don't want him getting hit by a ball. I'm protecting him as much as I can from himself. Because he's just going to play. He's going to go hard. He's just a straight gamer. And I don't know if you can reel that in without just shutting him down on the bases.
I'll tell you, a pleasant surprise has been Sam Hill.
Amen. I'm not saying he's Harris. With that. But, hey, that nine hole was looking pretty good last night. What, two doubles?
I'll take that
all day long.
Was it the first one or the second one that he stretched into a double? That's a single for 99.9% of anybody in Major League Baseball.
The gapper that rolled to the wall, that was the second one.
Not the one that rolled to the wall. I'm talking about the one that the center fielder cut off, but they were playing so deep that Hilliard realized that and was gone before. That was
first.
Okay. Yeah, that one impressed me more than just about anything that happened last night. Because that tells me not only is he hustling, but he's also paying attention out the box, right?
Yep. Because the second one was a slice that just landed right in between.
Oh, yeah.
That was beautiful. Looked like my golf shot. I was like, yeah. Ooh, I know that one.
It looked like me on the putt-putt range, slicing it, you know, standing there on the fourth hole and slicing it into the 16th hole, right into the windmill.
Hey, I mean, sorry. You just cut 12 holes off your round. That's efficiency, man.
My bad.
Low score.
Did I get you? No, you didn't get me. If you get me, you kill me. I remember teeing off one time. We went to play golf there in your neck of the woods and went teeing off one. I tried to explain to these guys I wasn't any good at golf. And dude, I finally got a hold of one, but not far. I probably hit it 138 miles an hour, but off to my left, like a straight pull shot. And one of the guys we went with that you know well, Benji, was standing right there, and the ball went flying right between his legs and pinged on the golf cart. And his eyes got big as watermelon. I was like, dude, are you okay? And I just remember him looking and goes, I don't know. I was like, that's it. I'm not going to try to hit another one hard the rest of the day because I'm worried I'm going to actually hurt somebody. I didn't think I could hit one that hard. All of a sudden, I got a hold of it. Like I said, it went straight behind. Boom, ding, ping. And the ball actually rolled into the fairway. I didn't want that on my conscience. Tonight, you got Ozuna at the DH position. I mean, what's it going to take to get that dude out of there? Especially against a righty. I would like to see.
Is it because of Darnold's concussion? Do you think that's why he's out? Is Darnold in that spot?
I'm sure.
He is.
Yeah, Darnold's still on the IL. Honestly, I would like to see Rosario DH and put Pilar maybe in the outfield or Eli White. Just give me more speed in the outfield and a little better glove and let Rosario. And then if they bring in a lefty late in the game, then bring Ozuna in because Rosario's not hitting lefties.
I would like that.
I guarantee you, Ozzy, I'll be standing. Or Arcia, you know, Arcia is down there at the seven hole. You know what he's saying. Dude, what do I have to do? You've got everyone hitting in front of me that's hitting behind me. This dude is cranking at a 333 clip. Ozzy's Ozzy. I get that. But dude, Rosario and Murphy are hitting above him. He's got to be going, dude, what do I have to do, man? Y'all don't respect me at all. Yeah, you gave me a 3-year extension, but hell, I'm going to make less than $2 million a year. Let's not even get into what the rest of these dudes are making. I thought about this the other day. In the next 3 years, if we pick up the option in the next 4 years, okay? If we pick up the fourth-year option on the contract that Arcia just signed, he will make just under what Marcelo Ozuna will make this year by about July.
Where are you going with him? Five hole?
I'm putting him. I think I would like to see him. I don't think I'm moving Murphy down because I'm not going to overreact yet. Because as long as Darnold is out and Harris is out, you're kind of stuck. But I would like to see Arcia sitting at five, Albies six, and then so basically flip flop Rosario and Arcia.
Gotcha.
Because I mean, Rosario, I guess they're trying to bust up all the righties because you'd have Riley, Murphy, and then you'd have Arcia. But I mean, if that's the case, then move Albies up there and have Arcia. I think Rosario should be down in the seven hole.
As long as I get Olsen, Riley, I want that combo, and I like them at the top where you don't have much room to pitch around Ronald. And
yeah, Acuna, Olsen,
plug Riley. And play past that. Yeah,
and once we get everyone back and Harris is healthy, I can foresee a situation down the road with Darnold where you're going to have Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Darnold, Michael Harris. And then depending on the lineup that night, you might have Albies, you might have Murphy sitting there. It's going to be a beautiful lineup when Orlando Arcia is sitting at the eighth or ninth spot. And it's a legitimate reason to have him there.
Agreed. Man, you missing Dansby yet?
I was until I heard that he left last night's game with some kind of tightness or something. I was like, oh, here we go.
I was wondering if we were going to bring that up today.
Here we go. I don't know.
Sorry, Cubs. Sorry, Cubs.
I'm not missing Dansby at all. I mean,
I'm not either.
I mean, I am because he was one of my favorite players, but from a logical standpoint,
it made sense.
Arcia is going to have just as good of numbers. He may not have as many home runs, but he's going to have solid OPS. Great glove. The evidently loved in the locker room. And we're going to have that extra money to spend elsewhere. And I think every team needs a guy who's not making $22 million a year in their starting lineup, you know?
You know, everybody on the team does too, except for that guy.
Well, then they just need to pick up all his checks. I don't expect Orlando Arcia to buy any dinners ever when he's out with Acuna and Olsen and Riley and Albies, Murphy.
The Uber, if he's never mind, too soon.
Travis d'Arnaud and Orlando Arcia should be eating for free, is my point. And Sam Hilliard, they ought to be picking up his Ubers. That's everything.
Ozuna just ought to be the checkbook. I'm just saying he ought to take them all out to dinner.
Yeah. Maybe he is. Maybe that's why they're keeping him around. Maybe he's coming in every day. Hey, guys, look what I brought in. Hey,
we're going to keep you around, but we're going to use your salary to fund team expenses. There you go. I like it. It's like, good job, AA.
Did you ever see the money? I'm sure you've seen, but the movie Moneyball.
Yes.
Where they make the trade, and a part of the trade is he wants whatever team to make sure that all the sodas are filled. Because David Justice was going, what, we have to buy sodas? What are we talking about here? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get you set for tonight. Keep it right here on 99.1 FM. Braves Country today. We'll be back in a flash. Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, 99.1 FM The Key, your first choice for Southern sports talk. Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you know what, you know who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
Here you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffin. The perfect portion of happiness.
You're not sick tonight, are you? Good. Your tongue's going to be hanging out. Tell him to throw up on his own time.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, home of Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
If there's anything I could change about the league to make it better, probably just all the guys sitting resting. That's the only thing I probably don't like. Just play, man. If you 80%, you got to play. I don't like all the sitting, missing games and stuff. Like these people might have enough money to come to one game. You know what I'm saying? And that might be the game they come to, and then you sitting out. You know what I'm saying? So I take pride in trying to play every game because I don't know. It might be one fan that has never seen me play, and I'm trying to play. So I don't. That's the only thing I don't like. Guys just sitting out.
Armchair.
Nats and Angels scoreless in the bottom of the third. Yet the Snakes all over the Brew Crew, 5-0 in the bottom of the fourth.
Whew. Arizona came to play this season, didn't they?
They did. I'll tell you what, I think they've got a puncher's chance at a wild card. They probably can't outlast San Diego or L.A. for 162-game division. How about I've got a – so if this score holds, I have a parlay of series, and it was for Atlanta to win their series, which they've already done, Baltimore to win the Oakland series, which they've already done, Arizona winning this series, and this is the rubber match. And then later on tonight, I got Giants and Dodgers. If the Giants win that series, it's going to come off at 10-1. But if Arizona wins this game, I'm going to go back and hedge that bet. And when I set this up the whole time, I was like, I don't know if I believe in the San Francisco one. But what I really liked was that first pitching matchup. And, man, Logan Webb just got thumped. But I saw how the starting times went, and I was like, if I can get it that far on Thursday evening, I'm going to go the other direction. Because the Dodgers right now are -155, so I'll definitely put some hay on the Dodgers. Either way, I'm not going to put as much. I'm not going to do this old splitty McSplitterson over there that some people will do where they go bet we're going to win the same amount of, no matter what. I think Cobb's got a decent chance of beating Kershaw tonight in San Fran, but I'm definitely going to hedge my bet a little bit. It'd be stupid not to. You got a lock for tonight?
No, I don't.
If I was going to... So, I tend to not pick the Braves if I'm doing the game because I just think that's bad juju. It's really tempting to take Chris Sale and the Red Sox. They're a +115 tonight. And, you know, he's from Florida. So of the 722 fans that will probably be in that park, at least half of them will be pulling for him.
If I was going to take one, it would have been that game, but I'm going the other direction. I think Tampa Bay is going to put up a big number. Now, I'm not saying that that equals out into a world championship, but I think they're going to stretch this. Everybody in that division is going to be chasing. I'd be closer. I think it hits 15 plus. I think they get past this one and Sunday.
Well, if you like
that, I think it's the Astros on the 24th before they lose a game.
So they got the rookie going tonight. So it's only a -125. So if you like him, it's a pretty good clip to get Tampa at home. I think the lock I'm going to take. It's a -1.5 at a +110. The Rangers, Nathan Eovaldi's at home against the Royals. That seems like a situation there where the Rangers are going to put up 5-6 runs and the Royals aren't going to be able to do nearly enough to stay close. I like that one a lot.
And that's got to hurt to know that you have those closers in that pen, Garrett and Chapman. And you're not going to have enough opportunity to fully use them. Now, Royals fans don't think that, but, you know, the rest of us baseball fans might.
Yeah, they've still got some names there for, you know, fans want to go. And the Bobby Witt kid is a fun kid to watch play. The problem with them is, man, their offense is just bad.
I don't think they'll outscore, especially these rules have led towards – it's exactly what the NFL did. They
promoted more offense, and it's showing. I mean, we're putting up touchdowns per night in games. I think we're going to have monumental numbers when we look at the stats at the end of the 2023 season. It's geared towards offense, and that lineup just doesn't put enough that I think they'll be leading games that they're going to use those closers. They'll be trade bait come deadline time.
A team that should tee off, Toronto, was pretty good against lefties last year. They haven't started out so well, but that is a -1.5 and a -140. They're at home against the Tigers and Erod. And though he looked good in the spring, he has not looked that great so far. That's another one that I like as well. I pulled the parlay off yesterday. I don't do it a lot, but I did a two-team parlay where both teams were underdogs, and they both took the Pittsburgh Pirates, who upset the Astros, and then the Padres beating the Mets. That was a nice little payout last night. I actually bet on NBA last night. You believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think – I mean, if – they had sumo wrestling you could bet on. I bet you'd do that one too. So I'm not surprised by that. Everybody listening might be, but
I hit the parlay on that. I took the Lakers on the money line, and then I teased the Hawks score, which I didn't even need. There was a time with 5 minutes left in that Lakers game, I was like, man, I should have just taken both underdogs on the money line, because that would have been a heck of a payout. Minnesota absolutely spit the bit. NHL playoffs are coming up. Are you getting excited for that?
Not really. With baseball season coming around, and, you know, we've had numerous discussions about Bally's. Now that I have access back, yes, I'm getting into this young roster and the new names, and if they make it, I'll be in. If not, I'm going to be a playoff fan only. I've kind of checked out, unfortunately, this season, but my interest level will be completely different depending on whether Nashville can pull it off or not.
Looking at the standings... And what is the deal? They're like hanging like right there, aren't they?
They're 90. They were, yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Does the X mean? Looks like Nashville's eliminated. Oh yeah, because the Jets are 4 points in front, and there's only one game left. Okay. Also been
dropped and lost that last one. Then yep.
I was hoping that Nashville would get in there. I think I became a playoff hockey fan years ago. I can't keep up with the regular season. It's too mundane. Pretty much the same with the NBA. If there's a big matchup, you can talk me into watching the Celtics play somebody, but it's got to be a big matchup. And you can't ask me to do that more than about 3 times in the year. Like, I'm not getting locked in on a December matchup when there's football going on, right? The Islanders, they are on the outside looking in right now. They still they're 1 point off the pace. So it looks like that they're in the 8th slot right now. So now that I know that, if I see the Islanders pop up on a game, I'll pay attention to that. But it's pretty much just Preds and Islanders for me. I mean, yeah, I pull for the Lightning. It's cool to watch them win, but I don't care nothing about them.
I tend to follow the original six. If I'm scrolling through and I've got an original six matchup, that one's hard to turn away. But other than that, there's just not much aside from my team now that I have access to them to watch during the regular season. That's really disappointing, because I really thought if they won out these last two, they had a chance to make it. But my math is off.
I check the standings about once a week, just so I'm not like totally ignorant on what's going on. The one thing that I've noticed over anything is that how dominant the Bruins have been. I don't have a dog in that hunt. I don't care if they win or lose, but man, they got 133 points. no one else in the league is above 111.
Bruins have looked good this season. They're going to be a formidable foe. And I expect to be drawn out of them.
Playoffs to start. The NBA playoffs, talk about this the first hour, but I just call me come conference championship time, and I'll probably be more locked into it. I'm going to watch the Celtics-Hawks series, but I won't watch it intently unless it gets really good, right? The Celtics should cruise in that series, but the rest of it, NBA does not need a seven-game series in the first round to decide who's better. Hockey, to me, is different. Hockey, seven-game series are fine. Those games, so many of those games are decided by one goal. It's different, you know?
Unless it's changed, their first round's still five.
Hockey?
Mm-hmm.
It's been seven for quite a while.
I don't go to seven to the letter rounds.
I don't think so. I could be wrong on that one.
Unless there's been a recent rule change, I have completely missed that one because the first one is a five-game series.
As long as I can remember.
Well, we're dinosaurs, so we both forget things.
I'm trying to look it up now as I speak, because I always end up typing what I'm saying as opposed to what
But heck, they all have series, and then we're diehard fans of baseball that does a stupid one-game wild card play in that I still for
now the NBA used to
change one rule.
The NBA used to have a best of five. That's been quite a while. Yeah, the hockey's been seven. It looks like 30 plus years. NBA. I don't remember when they did it, but it was right around the Jordan era, and it was just a money grab. Is all it was. They were like, well, we want to have more games on, and I thought at the time, and I still say it to this day, if you have a five-game series in the NBA, I think you're going to get more viewers than a seven-game series, because I'm going to care if my team loses one game in a five-game series, and I'll start paying attention, right? But if the Celtics are up 3-0 and they lose a game, you're still not going to get my attention until it gets to game six. But if you lose game one of a game five, then all of a sudden everything starts puckering up. You're like, whoa, buddy. It's kind of like that, you know, college football playoffs that I know me and you are both looking forward to. And we can sit here and say, well, does Alabama really need to play the 16th best team, et cetera, et cetera. But what if they are playing the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors and they're losing after the first quarter? All of a sudden, you're going to be like, whoa, let's go, let's go.
It'll happen one day. It might not be Hawaii, but it'll happen.
I hope it is Hawaii. We have to have Timus on the very next day.
Just for that, I hope it is the Rainbow Warriors.
Speaking of Rainbow Warriors, have you bought yourself any Bud Light recently?
No, I don't understand what anybody's up in arms with. I've always drank real beer, and so I don't drink flavored water. I haven't had any issues with my.
I didn't realize how bad it was until I actually saw the commercial they put out. I think it was a commercial of the spokesperson, Dylan something. That's transitioning into a woman or whatever. And it wasn't until I saw it was a video, but I don't know if it was actually a commercial. And it was so cringeworthy. That's when I was like, oh, this is bad. And I don't know if the numbers are right, but they say the first week they lost between 50 to 60% of sales, 50% bottles, 60% of draft. Ooh. And there was a bar up in New York that I guess is it's a gay bar, and their numbers dropped dramatically, which I found very interesting. So everybody's not buying it. I don't know if they're just doing it because they're like, I don't even want to be involved in this. What's your walk-off, sir? We're coming up on time.
Man, I just want to say thank you to all my co-hosts and listeners. I'm going to take a brief little hiatus. I'm not gone, but it's been a fun ride, and I just wanted to explain my admittance and tell all my co-hosts and listeners thank you, and I appreciate the support over the years, and I love you, man. I'll be back as soon as I get things under control.
Yeah, man. Rehab is tough. We wish you the best.
All right, I got to go check myself out now.
Very odd that you're disappearing just as the Bud Light campaign's ending. But yeah.
Well, they needed a model for the new can.
You're gonna have a hard time transitioning with that beard. We'll see you, brother.
See you, man. Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show. Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.